The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust you are doing exceptionally well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. BTC Flow Channel 612. I'm excited today because my mother called me about 1:55. She said, "You're not on today." I said, "It's 1:55, not 2 o'clock yet." So that means she's excited to listen to the show. So, hey, mommy. Yes, I still call my mommy, mommy man, and I'm 55 years old. I once again today have the policy fellow at the Government and Public Policy Institute with us, Mrs. Leslie Archer, and she wants to talk about that survey we're trying to get all of you to fill out. So very important, we believe, as we approach our 50th year of independence. As a matter of fact, tomorrow on Parliament Square, the official activities for the celebrations begin, I believe, at about 7 p.m. So you will notice, I think, some closures around the Rawson Square area downtown as they make preparation for these commencement exercises for the celebration of our 50th year of independence. Now, you know, it's 50 years for us is quite an achievement for independence. It's not very long in comparison to, say, nations like China that have been around for thousands of years, or the United States for nearly 300 years and that kind of thing. But hey, you know, it's our independence and we're celebrating it, I believe, grand style. Madam Archer, as a part of this commemorating of our 50th anniversary, the Government and Public Policy Institute is undertaking an important survey. Tell us about it.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon, Radio Land. And thank you again, Mr. Lang, for having me on the show. Yes, the Government and Public Policy Institute is doing it again. We are having a fantastic, very interesting research study going on, and we need your participation. It's basically, we want to capture what it is to be a Bahamian. What does it mean to be a Bahamian? Where did we stand in terms of our national values and our cultural values? Where have we come from and where are we going 50 years into it? So we have a survey going on right now that we need anyone over the age of 18 who has spent at least 18 months in the country. You don't have to be here now. You could be a part of our diaspora, but at least you could say enough that you're familiar with Bahamian culture and with Bahamians and Bahamian life to complete the survey for us. It's two parts. The survey is asking, you know, what are your perceptions of Bahamians? So would you consider Bahamians to be honest people? Generally speaking, do you consider Bahamians to be faithful people, cleanly people, the friendly people? Do we appreciate diversity? Are we patriotic? That aspect. And then the second part of the survey is really asking you. So you're a Bahamian. Would you consider yourself to be an honest person? How faithful are you?
I took the survey.
What are your thoughts, Mr. Lang? I'd like to
I was intrigued. Honestly, as I did it, I was like, you know what? Maybe I don't really want to answer this anymore. But yeah, I know it was really interesting to, you know, I have questions asked about do you think, it really asks you to pick from among a number of choices, as in strongly agree or strongly disagree, and some places in between there. Are Bahamians hardworking? Mm-hmm. Bahamians, honest and so forth. And I have to tell you, a couple times I stopped and I went like, am I answering this about me or am I answering this about the Bahamas? You know?
So I do try to guide people to distinguish, you know. We don't really like people to talk about us. We want to talk about ourselves. We don't really like to talk about us. And when you have to look, well, you know, if I really stay in Bahamas, like, yeah, I'm talking about myself.
Exactly, right? You know, and then you have to think, it makes you go in your head with you, to your interactions with Bahamians in general. So, you know, if you ask me a question about our Bahamians, I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about my friends. I'm thinking about my neighbors. I'm thinking about my colleagues at work. I'm thinking about the people in the broader community. And so I was really, really happy to do it.
Thank you. Wow, that is such great news. So if anybody else wants a pin of dopamine today to get some of Mr. Lang's happiness from taking that survey, I encourage you to take it. There are many ways you can take it. You can go to www.tinyurl, tiny as in small, T-I-N-Y-U, as an umbrella, R as in rainbow, L as in love, tinyurl.com/Bahamas50, B-A-H-A-M-A-S. We should know how to spell our country's name. Bahamas, and then the number 5050 in honor of our anniversary of independence. So tinyurl.com/Bahamas50. You can also text me 431-8355, and I can send you a link to a survey if you want a physical copy. That can happen as well. But let's get it out there. We need about 1,500 persons to respond to it. And like Mr. Lang said, you get a little dopamine hit. Listen, I had this week, between this week and last week, I had the privilege of surveying some students on UB. Even last night, up to 8 o'clock last night, I was at the university getting students. And I just sat there looking at their faces, Mr. Lang. At some point, I was wondering if I was giving them an exam. Like, I had to ask them.
It was an exam. It was
like, am I testing y'all or something? They're like,
you were. You were. Because, you know, if you're not, you know, it's self-reflecting.
And yes.
It's community reflecting. And so it, you know, but it's intriguing. I have a text here from somebody who says, sometimes it was difficult to determine whether it was my opinion or a generic question, but survey was interesting. That's from a texter.
Yes. I did have some pilot studies with that feedback. So I tried at the beginning of it to say, perceptions. This section is focusing on perceptions. What is your perception of Bahamians in general? So you do have to take time. And I will tell you guys, I've heard feedback, you know, this isn't a survey you could do while you drive in, or, you know, maybe if you're on the line to KFC or Wendy's or something, you could take the time to complete it. But you do need about 10 minutes to really, because the questions are going to make you think. And like I told the students that I surveyed last night, you know, we only going to be 50 once. Like, let's cherish this. Let's appreciate this. You know, I really value your responses and opinion. Let's take the time to do this and do it properly and invest the time, because it's really worth it. I'm hoping. I had a student who wanted to, well, she's not a student. She's finished school. She has some spare time and she wants to learn more about research. And she called me yesterday and I said, you know, she asked me what I was hoping to get out of the study, like the end result of the study. And I said, you know, I'm really hoping that this research proves to be a source of irritation, the results for a lot of people. I want the results to be something that people can look at, from to have a conversation, you know, Estella in her dorm room with her friends, straight up to policymakers to look at the results, look at the analysis and the study, where, what are Bahamians doing? And that's why I tie it with the government budget. Where is the money going and how does that affect our values? You know what I mean? There's a question on the survey that says, you know, do Bahamians in general value education, obtaining an education? And I ask, do you value obtaining an education? And then I look at the government budget. What percentage of the budget in 1972-3 was going to education? What percentage of the budget is going to education now? And can we weave together some narrative about the value of education in Bahamians and how it has changed over the last 50 years? I want to take that question to the policymakers. I want them to have the evidence and the facts to say, well, look, you know, this is some tangible evidence of what a Bahamian is. This is some empirics, that not just talk. I have some data. We have some information coming from the University of the Bahamas to say that this is who we are as Bahamians. This is what you do and impact it with the budget, with the statistics that are coming out. And let's see if this can help guide our vision for at least another 50 years down the road, you know. So this study, I'm hoping, am I rambling? Mr. Lang, you're like quiet. And
No, not at all. What I was going to say to you is, mm-hmm. I think that you weren't doing it too quickly, but someone says the lady is speaking too fast when giving the website and telephone number. So I want you to give it very slow.
Okay. www.tinyurl.com/, so that's the line, slanted line forward, Bahamas 50. So www.tinyurl.com/Bahamas50. And you can also text 431-8355. That's 431-8355. I'll say it one more time. 431-8355. If you send a text to that number, the survey link can be sent to you along with the flyer. There's also a QR code that you can scan. All of that information can be sent. And if you want more information about the study, so tinyurl.com. www.tinyurl.com/Bahamas50 and 431-8355. Is that fine?
Good. That's great. I think that one of the clear results that will come from the survey, and of course it won't come from the survey if we don't get more of you to participate, because we want about 1,500 plus participants, right?
Right, yeah. We do.
And so what will happen is we will get a sense from those people surveyed really what you think about those values we have traditionally identified as high values for Bahamians, whether we, majority of us think that, yes, those are values we regard as important, and we will know the extent of that importance, because there is not very important, there is not important, there is I'd rather not, or say, or I don't say yes or no, and then there's very important and important and so forth. So we get a sense of the extent of the importance we put on any particular value. And then, so we then kind of get a sense that, you know what, boy, Bahamians. And we get a sense of how those values have changed over time, because the questions ask, okay, do you think it's more important, less important, or hasn't changed kind of way too? So we get a sense of some movement in our national values, because some of the questions really intrigue me on that score, because I had to sit there and think, now, is this a bit decreased or really decreased, you know? And so you had to sit around and consider that. And so we get a sense of to get a sense of that. And so it's really a way of on this 50th anniversary period of looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you know, what is it that I believe about to be true about myself, and how has what I believe to be true about myself changed? That's an important piece of information.
Right. And you know, what I'm most fascinated about with this study is that there are also interviews, and I'm finding out from persons who were teenagers during the time of independence, you know, asking them really how much it has changed, these values and behaviors in general, and how much you yourself has changed your value system from the time our country was just a baby with independence to now. And so being able to speak with persons, you know, who are 65 and older, I mean, obviously independence would be 50, but I am also interviewing people who are 65, who are in their 70s, and just understanding as they complete the survey, as I speak with them, you know, I get to learn so much more, and all of this information and data will be shared with the public. So if shared with your grammy, with your mommy, sit down, ask the questions with your daddy, and let them answer. And we can learn so much from each other as well. So this is a moment of community. I hope that this study will bring and quality discussion.
I'm glad you mentioned that, mommy. By the way, after the show, I'm going to come by and you can fill out the survey, because I think it'd be intriguing to hear you answer those questions.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Great idea. So once again, listen, folks, please, come on, man. Come on. I mean, don't sit there and go, that's nice. That's sweet. We want to hear from you. It really will be really, I think, useful to hear from you. So fill out the survey. Leslie's going to be back with us again until we're going to keep doing this until we reach our target. 1,500 plus. Yes. That's what we need. Where are you now? Where are you now, Leslie?
We are at I would say in total probably around maybe 250, because I do have more than 100 in the online system, but I do have persons asking for physical copies, so they have to be input into the system. So I would say maybe around 250 are now, which is good. From last week, we were around one something. So
we need 1,300 more plus, folks. Come on. And it takes, as somebody's texting right now, says it takes 10 short minutes. And really, and it is short minutes, because it doesn't feel like somebody is really dragging you through some windmill or something like that, your treadmill or not, you know. So it's okay. One more time, the URL. And if you want to text me or WhatsApp me, 439-3043, for the survey, I can send it to you that way.
Okay, and it's tinyurl.com, tinyurl.com/Bahamas50. And another number is 431-8355. I thank you. I saw somebody texted for the survey, and I sent them it, and they said thank you. So I can also send you the flyer and the QR code so that you can share it in your WhatsApp groups or on your social media platform. Let's do it for our country. It's not just ourselves. We sacrifice in 10 minutes, but this is something for our people and for our leaders and for our direction and our vision and for a long time to come.
I so love these folks who work with me, because I was going to the survey and I had the flyer. And I had the QR code on the flyer. And so I just kind of took my photo on the QR code. You know, you put your camera on it and boom, the survey came up. If they had asked me to do that, it was going to be a problem.
Yeah, I can send the QR. I was like, sorry, I didn't even know you was that advanced. I don't even use QR code.
I used it because, you know, when I really became familiar with it during COVID. Because you know, if you're in the airport and you had to go and do your COVID testing,
they that's true.
QR you had to code, do this. And you could just do your camera and boom.
Yeah. So everybody, I mean, take this time, do it yourself, and take the time to do the survey with someone older than you. Sit down and let that be a conversation piece, a quality conversation piece, and you may be surprised what you learn as well, in this time.
Super. Great. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Mrs. Leslie Archer of the Government and Public Policy Institute, trying to get you to be part of this wonderful National Cultural Values Survey that we're doing. And we're going to have her back again because we're going to keep doing this until we meet our target. So glad you could join us. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, well, I have to talk to you about something I regard as so very important. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want at some point to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So I want us to have a conversation today about parenting boys in the Bahamas. About our boys. About how we see them, how they see us, how they see the Bahamas boys. Now, by boys, I mean, you know, I'm generally talking about the ones who are under 18, but, you know, that's not going to be like a hard line anything, but so we're talking about boys, right? And I want to begin. Do we have a call on the line? Was that earlier? Do you have a call on the line? Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay. And how are you?
I'm fine. I'm just calling to let you know that your biggest fan works with me. And she listens to you every single day. And she wants to let you know that you're doing an excellent job.
Well, thank you so very much. And thank her so very much. Appreciate it very, very much.
I just want to let you know that you are doing a good job and, you know, every day your topics
Super. And if she has any topics she wants me to cover, let her let me know, please.
Okay, can we send it to the WhatsApp?
Yes, you can, absolutely.
All right, I thank you. You have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. That was so nice. Thank you. So my wife and I have parented 4 children, 3 of whom are males, right? Clearly the other one is a female. And I don't want women or females to be set back by today's conversation, because a lot of the things that will be talked about really will connect with parenting girls as well. But I'm going to have another show about parenting girls, and we're going to do that show later. But we just want to focus on parenting boys today. And generally speaking, whenever parenting boys comes up as a conversation, it comes up in the context that, oh, we got these men who are committing crimes. We have these men who are doing all kind of wrongs. We got these delinquent children, boys, and so forth and so forth. We got men who are not holding their responsibilities. We got men who are dropping out of the education system, and the list goes on. None of that forms a backdrop for me today at all. None of it. There's no news headline. There's no story that's been told. There's no travesty or tragedy that I know that prompts me to do what I'm doing today. It really is simply a topic that I had determined to do some time ago and want to talk about because I believe it's important. Frankly, parenting is absolutely important. Parenting girls is absolutely important. Parenting boys is absolutely important. But we do have some special circumstances connected to our boys that we could talk about, but that's not really why I have decided to focus this way. I'm dipping, somebody says. Okie dokie. Let's see if we can fix that. You don't want to dip? Was I dipping all along again? Hopefully that might help. Let me know, producer, if there's any dipping going on, please, now. I think we should be better off now, but hopefully. Somebody says fine to me. Okay, great. Super. All right, good. As long as I'm clear to yourselves, great. Okay, so first of all, let me clarify something. I heard on one of the shows, I heard someone mention that there are abundantly more females in the Bahamas than males. That's not true at all. Okay. In fact, biologically speaking, that's very hard to achieve. In the world, that's very hard to achieve. The Bahamas has a population of about 400,000 now. That the last census, it was 389,000, but we're probably there, clearly above that now. And basically, the population is split half-half between males and females. Basically, not perfectly, but basically, the population is split between male and female half-half. I think females have a slight edge, but basically, it's 50-50, and that's biologically how it is. So stop saying, if you're saying this, that there are more females in the Bahamas by far than males. That's simply not true. Okay? Absolutely not true. Also, in terms of our population, the Bahamas ranks about 177th of little over 200 countries in the world. So you are very small amongst the world population of people. And to demonstrate to you just, and at all age groups, the Bahamas has essentially the same number of males to females. So let me give you an example. In terms of age 15, there are about 3,200 males. There are 3,300 males, females, okay? 15, age 15. 3,200 males, 3,300 females. Let's look at age 34. Age 34, 2,800 males, 3,100 females, okay? How about we look at age 51? Age 51, 2,800 males, 3,200 females, right? If you go to the much younger age group, age 10, there are 2,700 males, 2,700 females, and an exact same amount. And what you will notice is in the younger age categories, the male female, so age 20, there are 3,300 males, there are 3,400 females. In the younger segments of the population, the age, the number of females versus males are closer than in the older segments of the population. Why would that be? Because typically men die younger than women in the Bahamas. So as you get older, you'll notice the gap starts to get bigger between the numbers of males and the numbers of females. And that's largely because of the differential in lifespan between the males and the females, okay? So the, in numbers-wise, not a big difference. Somebody says, wow, surprising stats. It was always said that the ratio was 3-1, females to males, not even close. And let me tell you what I want to say again. Biologically speaking, that is not possible. Just by virtue of your biology and the way the sperm ovum situation works, that is not biologically conceivable. You would have to have extraordinary circumstances external to the human biology that creates that kind of distortion between males and females. Okay? All right. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that we parent boys differently than we parent girls in the Bahamas? And if so, what is that difference? Like what is the difference in the way we parent boys versus the way we parent girls? So that's a question I want to put to you before I share with you some results from some studies that may not be particularly Bahamas-based, but I think reflect a reality that's in the Bahamas as well. So do you think that we parent our boys differently than we parent our girls? And if so, how do we parent our boys differently than we parent our girls? That's the question I have for you. I'm going to take a break, give you some time to answer, and then when we come back, we'll get more into this. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid. I'm not
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Nobody's answered. Oh, okay, maybe I'm getting some answers now. One question, this text says, yes, we do. Girls are asked to be quiet, speak when spoken to. Boys are told to stop crying, whining, showing emotions. We do not have a healthy acceptance and manner to process emotions. Unfortunately, this carries over into adulthood. Okay, so you say we do. It says girls are asked to be quiet, speak when spoken to. Now, my recollection is that that's said about boys and girls, both. Boys are told to stop crying, that is true. And whining, that is true. Showing emotions, I think that is true. We do not have a healthy acceptance and manner to process emotions, unfortunately. This carries over into adulthood. Okay. Thank you for that. This text says, yes, previously boys were brought up to be responsible men, given more onerous tasks, duties. Females were taught more soft skills to be good mothers, i.e. cooking, cleaning, babysitting, typing, sewing. Nowadays, boys are more pampered and spoiled, especially by mothers. Wow. Okay. Okay. Well, you can keep answering if you want. I looked at a few meta studies. What do we mean by meta studies? Meta studies are, in a meta study, what happens is you do a study of studies, right? So you don't look at just one study. You look at many studies over the years in about the same topic, okay? And you therefore get a broad sense of what the studies are concluding about that subject matter. And so I looked at some studies that looked at parenting boys versus girls and the differentiations there. One was done by Groeneveld, Kronenberg, and Mesman. And that study, here's what the findings were. Interestingly, here's what the findings were. Although various theories describe mechanisms leading to differential parenting of boys and girls, there is no consensus about the extent to which parents do treat their sons and daughters differently. The last meta-analyses on the subject were conducted more than 15 years ago, and changes in gender-specific child rearing in the past decade are quite plausible. In the current set of meta-analyses, based on 126 observational studies that's involved 15,000 families plus, we examined mothers and fathers' differential use of autonomy-supportive and controlling strategies with boys and girls, and the role of moderators related to the decade in which the study was conducted, the observational context and sample characteristics. And they talk about the database that they used. Here is what they found. They said that few differences were found in parents' use of control with boys and girls. Parents were slightly more controlling with boys than with girls, but the effect size was negligible. The effect was larger, but still small in normative groups and in samples with younger children. No overall effect for gender-differentiated autonomy-supportive strategies was found. A significant effect of time emerged, blah, 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 blah. So in other words, that meta-study, as another meta-study I looked at said, really, when you look at it, the parenting of boys versus girls is not that different. When you look at it, not that different, right? There are some situations in which the differences can evolve, but generally speaking, there are no differences. And think about this for a moment, right? Let's look at the ways in which we parent, right? So if you're a parent, you have some basic functions when it comes to parenting, right? The first of which is to provide that child with food. Do we provide boys with food differently than we provide girls with food? Or do you breastfeed the boy, you breastfeed the girl? If you don't breastfeed the boy or you don't breastfeed the girl, you give a problem to one, you give problem to the next one, right? As they move along, you give them that baby food and the apple and banana baby food. Do you decide, no, I'm going to don't give the boy that and I'm going to give the girl? No, we don't do that. I had four children. I am not seeing that. I observe in my other environments. I don't see that difference, not on the feeding side. Do we, on the clothing side, the boys differently than girls? Because you have to give the children clothes, right? Only to the extent that we gender type the clothing, do we differentiate. We don't differentiate, well, you don't need no clothes as a boy, you need clothes as a girl. We don't do that, right? I mean, we've seen little children, 2-3, girls running around ball naked, little boys running around ball naked. The parents don't really think about it that much. But when we clothe them, we don't clothe them, okay, you could get stylish clothes as a girl and you can't get stylish clothes as a boy. If you can buy Oshkosh, you're buying both sets of children these clothes. But you gender type the meaning. The girls will get dresses, generally speaking, and the boys will get pants and shirts and so forth and so forth. But as a general rule, when it comes to clothing, we're not really outside of the clothing type per gender differentiating, right? So we have to clothe the child. We have to give the child water. Do we have distinctions there? No. We have to shelter the child. Do we have distinctions there? You could live in the house. If you're a girl, you can't live in the house. If you're a boy, we don't do that. They both live under our roofs, right? Yeah, somebody's saying dresses for girls. Yeah, that's gender type. That's not about actually differentiating in terms of clothing to the extent of you don't get clothes, you get clothes, you get more clothes, you get less clothes. It's gender typing. It's really to say this is male looking clothes, this is female looking clothes. So we know that differentiation does take place. we don't differentiate when it comes to shelter. Do we differentiate when it comes to the moral values we teach children, the boys versus the girl? Do we say to boys, you could murder, don't murder, and the girls, yeah, go ahead, murder, or vice versa? No, we don't steal. We don't do that, right? We teach them, do we gender differentiate when it comes to spiritual values? You know, boys, it's okay for you not to believe in God. Girls, it's okay for you to believe in God. We don't do that either, right? We don't do that. Do we do it in terms of our cultural stuff, in terms of how we eat, what we eat, and so forth, so forth? We don't typically do that. What the studies talk about is where the differentiation might exist is where it comes to control on the one hand, and a kind of supportive autonomy, letting you do more rather than less. What we do is how we allow boys to play more physicality, how we allow them to do chores, more physicality versus the girls. So when it comes to chores and tasks and stuff like that, these are gender type tasks, and understandably so, because a boy being a male does fit into a different physical strength status than a girl in general, as a matter of biology. So the thing is, we tend to type the boy into, okay, you know, use your physicality in this way, and the girl, use your physicality. But the studies, I think, will bear out that when we look at even here in the Bahamas, how we differentiate in terms of parenting boys and girls, I think the largest differentiation tends to hover around sexual morality and emotional behavior. That's my, like, you know, we tend to see a boy going after girls, multiple girls, even as, well, he's being a boy and that's okay. And then we see a girl, if she decided she was going after a boy and or boys, we go like, no, you can't do that, because that's being kind of loose. And so we definitely have a harsh differentiation on that regard. It got a boy wandering off and going off to park to play and those that kind of thing might be looked upon with less challenge than with respect to a girl wandering off and doing that, because we feel like she's more vulnerable to attack than the boy might be, even though these days, given some of the circumstances happening, we feel different. We may feel differently all around. So there are some differences, but I think broadly speaking, in the parenting, there aren't a lot of differences. But I do want, when we come back from the news break, to talk about some things in relation to the way boys are parented that I think we should take note of. And I don't think that they don't apply to girls, but I just think we should take note of. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
So much going on in the world today? Only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking about parenting boys today in the Bahamas. And you know, if boys and girls are parented poorly, the outcomes for both, for the country, in both cases will be bad. There's no question about that. But I suspect that they will be bad differently to some degree. Here's how. Remember that a boy will grow into a man, and a man will have enormous physical strength. And if that man with enormous physical strength has a value system that's poor, has a view on other human beings that's problematic, then that physical strength is going to come to bear down on the society, either through some violent aggression or abusiveness and that kind of thing. While a girl growing into a woman could exercise some of that same kind of aggression, the limitations of her physicality will not permit her to do the kind of physical damage in the way of violence and that kind of thing that a man could do, not as a general rule. And so you tend to get outcomes in terms of male dysfunction that are reflective of increased aggressive physical aggression and violence, all right, where the socializing is poor. Also remember that this boy who's going to grow into a man is going to be a critical factor in the socializing of the adolescent boy, right? While we know mothers can parent their adolescent boys, we know that. We know they can do it. But to be honest with you, the outcomes don't always be so good when they have to do it alone, right? We can't deny that the outcomes don't always be so good because there is something in that male structure, that man, his voice, his strength, his power, his build, that for the adolescent male whose hormones are now driving him to believe that he is coming into his own power, he needs that checked against another power that guides him in the use of that power. And the female ain't gonna be able to do that as adequately. And in fact, what happens sometimes in the single female parenting is because she is aware of this now resistant, challenging male, she tends to over-control and over-stress the situation and creates another set of dynamics, right? So where we can, having a responsible man who has been developed out of a responsible boy, then you get better social outcomes for the adolescent children, male children of that man. Okay, so there's many, many important, and if you are a man interested in the proper treatment of your daughter, right, in someone who can value her, someone who can protect her, someone who can provide for her, somebody who can, even if they injure her, can be compassionate enough and humble enough to concede that, if you want your daughter subjected to that kind of a male human being, then that boy has to be someone who evolves into that kind of man, right? So I had my first my first child when I was 27 years old, 3 years after I got married, right? What did I know about parenting then? Basically what I knew was that as a parent, I had to shelter this child. I had to clothe this child, and it was a male child. I had to feed this child, you know, along with the mother, talking about myself, and that I had to give that child some guidance. What kind of guidance? I had to give moral guidance. I had to give guidance in terms of how to be safe. I had to give guidance in how to relate to other people. So I understood that at 27 years old. I can't tell you I sat down and had a detailed manuscript of how to parent. That'd be clearly untrue. I had a model in parenting through my father and my mother and what they did in helping me to appreciate what good parenting looked like from that point of view. So I had that as a guide. I had my second child when I was 30 years old, 3 years later. And what did I understand? I was a male child. What did I understand was my role as a parent? Same as I understood it to be with the first one. Shelter them, clothe them, feed them, and guide them morally, socially, in terms of how to keep themselves safe, right? And then I didn't have another child until 7 years later. So I was 37 years old, and that child was a girl. What did I understand about parenting then? At 37 years old, basically the same set of things I understood before. The only thing that got added to the parenting for me was I had a little girl. And I did see her physically, emotionally, as a more tender human being. So I felt like pampering was an added parenting component. I didn't feel like I should pamper my sons. I'm telling you what the deal was. Right? I'm not telling you that's the right way. I'm just telling you what the deal was, right? And so I felt like pampering her was a part of my parenting requirement. And then I had my last child another 6 or so years later. And that was a boy. Now, a couple of things got added because I'm older now. And I understand some things now, some shortcomings from previous parenting and some other stuff. So I understand some things now, so I still had the sheltering to do, still had the clothing to do, still had the feeding to do, still had to do the guiding in terms of moral and social and safety outcomes. But I also understood that I had some emotional guidance to do, that I had a role in helping this child develop emotionally in terms of using, understanding his emotions and understanding how to work through those emotions. And I have to say that was not a big component in my previous parenting skill set, right? I also added to my parenting set of skills a need to connect with this child. Unlike I had with the others, you know, I did spend time with my other kids and did try to make sure they saw in me someone that they could look to and all that kind of stuff. But there is a connectedness you can have with children where they feel like when they have the choice, like they want to be in your life and they want you to be in their lives. So that comes through connection, right? And so I had to add that to the pot as well. So over time, while there were some stable factors in my parenting, there were some things that I evolved into that I understood better in time. And I also saw what worked very well in my parenting of my boys. And why do I say what worked? I say what worked in terms of the way they handled themselves, the way they handled other people, the way they conducted themselves in the world and the way they connected and related to us and to their God, I saw some things that worked. And so those are the things that I want to mention to you. And if you want to weigh in, I'm happy to have you weigh in. This text says, yes, he either over controls or relinquished control, and this is where the issue of outside influences, example, gangs, etc., comes in. Yes, yeah. This text says, it doesn't matter that people may want to put forward today, we cannot deny that there are things that only a father can impart to their children. AA is the same with a mother, that is true. That was the original design. Your mother can never be a father to you. She can do the best that she can, but she can't be the missing father. I agree with that 100%. I think that we overlook the emotional needs of our male children sometimes, which tells them that their emotions are not important, which creates issues when they're connecting in relationships. Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. You know, the thing about parenting that I know profoundly is this. Whether it goes right or wrong, might manifest early in a person's life, even when they are still children. But it manifests later, much later on in life, just as the text says, when it comes to connecting in relationships, dealing with your peers, dealing with your colleagues at work and so forth. And it can be quite telling. So let's look at some six things that I believe if you're a father, if you're a mother, and you're dealing with a male child or children, if you're a guardian and you're dealing with a male child or children, here are some things that these are my observations. Observations that I think is so critical. Number one, you're raising a male boy, a male child, you're raising a male child, you're raising a boy. Listen, you have to be present, physically present in a qualitative way. Okay? You have to be physically present in a qualitative and a quantitative way. You have to be physically present in a qualitative and quantitative. You could send all the money you want. You can send all the clothes you want. You could send all the toys you want. And yes, the child might receive them happily. The mommy might receive them happily. But if you want to have the fullest impact on the positive development of this boy, you need to be present, physically present, and in an adequate amount of time and in a qualitative degree of time. You have to be physically present. You have to be emotionally present. What do I mean by that? You can't be present, say you there present for the child. Now listen, listen to me carefully. You could be living with your child's mother, or you could not be living with your child's mother. If you show up around that child, let me give you an example of showing up. If you visit the house or you take the child for something, but while you are doing both, that you are distracted with other things. So you're at the house, but you're distracted with this ex girlfriend or wife, or you're at the house and you're distracted with your girlfriend or your wife while you kind of fake playing with the child, or if you're out and you're on your phone texting, or you hanging out with your boys while your child, in quote, is playing with something, Trust me when I tell you, the child knows, and it will tell on you in your connectedness to that child. That's what I mean by being physically present and emotionally present. That child needs to believe that ain't nothing else matter on planet Earth right now than you as I am visiting with you. That's what the child has to believe. They have to buy that. And they only get to buy that because your attention is undivided, because your response to them is undivided, because your articulation to them is undivided, because they get a sense that their smile is generating a smile in you, their laughter is generating a laughter in you, their physical reaction to you is generating a reaction from you, because they know you're there with them. And a father, listen to me, a father demonstrates this to a male child best through play fight. I don't mean fight, like play, like wrestling, right? A father wrestling with a boy is much more involved than you think. And I know some people go, oh, that's only teaching aggression. Nonsense. When you are wrestling with a boy, guess what that boy has to calculate? That boy has to calculate, as my daddy and I wrestle, is this still play or is this fight? What are the cues that tell me that I should exercise more physicality or less physicality? And how do I see and observe in him his ability to be gentle while at the same time giving me the enormous arousal of physically wrestling with my father? Because children love to play and male children love to physically play. Right? You want to be there present for the child in every kind of way, spiritually and financially. Talk to your child about what they believe about God, what they believe. And just listen. You're not at this point trying to get them to believe everything you believe. You're just trying to listen. You're trying to understand what they're observing about the world. That's being present. They get to see that, you know what? My words count, my thoughts count, and my daddy counts my words and my thoughts. And when you want to intervene and say, well, you know, maybe you ought to consider this and think about that, and here's what I believe, then they go, well, wow, I didn't know that. I'm learning my daddy, right? In all the ways possible, be present at the school, at school events, at school things. If you can do pickups, doing pickups and drop-offs. Okay, a report card day and whatever. Being present is enormously, enormously necessary for the proper development of a child. When that child is playing with their friends, take opportunity to observe, watch the basketball playing, watch the football playing, watch the softball playing, watch what's going on, watch how they're playing games, watch how that ebb and flow between their aggressiveness is going. Watch the words, listen for the words they're using. And when you feel like you need to intervene to kind of teach a lesson, you do that too. Watch them and their siblings, how they relate to each other. The boys to the boys, the boys to the girls. Watch how they interact with their mother and so forth. And when you feel the need to intervene, being present is indisputably necessary if you're going to parent boys well. And if you feel bad because you're only spending the time, thank God, hallelujah, bless the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Guess what, though? If you lie, you could do something about it. Now, I know some guys say, but listen, Chibago, me and my ex, like, she don't even let me, she don't want me. I understand, bro. I understand. Do the best you can, okay? You can't do more than you could do. So anybody could fault you because something prevents you from doing something you think you should do. Do the best you can. Do the best you can. If it's only a phone call, do the best you can. If it's a note, do the best you can. If it's a text, do the best you can. Whatever you could do to establish as much as you can establish your presence in that boy's life, you go right ahead and do what you could do. You can't do what you can't do. So don't use nothing as an excuse. Do what you can do, do well. Do exceptionally well. And that's nobody could ask more from you. So that's the first thing. Be present. The second thing, text says presence outshines presence. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're preaching today. Listen, I told you all, I'm talking about something I feel enormously passionate about. And so if that comes true, forgive me. I'm just telling you this truth, right? The second thing is you got to be observant of their forming personality. You watch your children, man. Watch them boys. Watch them. Listen to me. All them ain't the same. Don't mind these people talking nonsense, but all boys can be boys and all boys ain't the same. Some boys in their formation, personality formation, will be outgoing. Some will be introverted. Some will be shy. Some will be talkative. Some will be quiet. Some will be aggressive. Some will be more gentle. Some will be may demonstrate more feminine features of their character. Now, let me explain something about that, right? Every human being has both masculine and feminine features. We all do. Okay? That don't mean nobody is a this and nobody's a that. It just means that you do. Right? And some might manifest more. They're more feminine. They're nurturing. They want to deal with things in ways that reflect the aesthetics of it. And ain't nothing wrong with it. What's their forming personality? What is this child of mine forming into? Why do you want to know that? Because everything doesn't fit with a personality. And so if you know your child's personality, you will know how best to connect and relate to the child. You know, you can't call the child soft because the child don't talk loud and don't talk much. The child ain't soft. The child don't talk loud and talk much. And if the child is talk loud and talk much, you can't say the child just biggity or the child just I'm rude because the child is. No, you want to now say, you know what? This personality trait will work better in a scenario like this and work better in a scenario like that. And what that child needs more than anything else on planet Earth is to know that no matter what my personality type, I am unconditionally loved, appreciated, and accepted by my parents. Unconditionally so. Let the rest of the world, with their ignorance, call that child names. Let them, in their ignorance, say what they want to say. You teach that child how to be confident, comfortable, and productive in their own skin. Teach that child, listen, man, them or there. Oh, you, let me look at me. I love you. I love you. I care about you. And I got you. Right? Watch and observe for the child's forming personality. Now, where the child's personality manifests itself in ways that can lead to bad outcomes for themselves in terms of hurting themselves or hurting or injuring other people, then you want to curb that. That's your job. That's your job. Your job is to be observant and to say, okay, well, now we got to have a little talk, maybe even do a little bit more than that as we try to discipline, but you want to be observant of that child's forming personality. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and then when we come back, we'll continue looking at some things we can do in our parenting of our boys here in the Bahamas. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this.
Take a stay, everybody.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure to have these check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. I believe we have a caller on the line. I'm so sorry. I hope you're holding. Go ahead. Do we still have the caller? No? Okay. I'm so sorry. If you want to call back, please feel free to call back. So we're talking about ways in which we can parent our boys in the Bahamas. And so we got as far as two items. We got the caller back. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing? Sparky here.
I'm doing okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I was listening to you. Hope your family doing well. Yeah, you know, Mr. Lang, let me tell you something. I could tell you some things from a divorced father, but some experience I could say. I listened to you many times and I heard you when you tell the story about your father and how he died when you were young and how your mother worked her fingernails off in the straw market bringing you and your siblings up and all the stuff you did to get to where you are, the study and the hard work and playing a little basketball. I don't think you know what you're doing on the court, no way. But you tried.
Yeah,
to the NBA, but you tried.
No, I tried, yeah.
You could dribble and you could drool. But let me tell you something. I went through that thing when they called divorce. And I'm not saying anything bad about anybody, the ex or whatever have you, but a lot of people don't realize the reality of the divorce. Sometime after the divorce, like in the case of my own, when it came down to the actual celebration and meeting at the lawyer to discuss how we're going to go about with the divorce, my lawyer at that time was my uncle. The lady wanted a divorce. I said, meet me by his chambers. We went there and we did all of this and that. And I said, okay. He said, okay, now, Sparky, you know, Uncle Phil say, hey, Vince, let you put yourself down as the one that committed adultery, even if you didn't do the adultery thing. But the lady wanted a divorce. Okay, no problem. You pay me X amount or you can split it half-half. I pull up my checkbook, I say, I pay for the whole thing. She want a divorce? Get a divorce. She remarried. I never remarried, okay? But let me tell you what happens also, Mr. Lang, in the case that when it comes to the children. Now, when you go to the settlement at the court, the first thing the judge tells you, we are looking out for the welfare of the child. So in most cases, the wife gets the custody of the children. Now, the wife goes out and gets married again, so your children end up living with another man in another house somewhere else. Now, you get visitation rights from time to time. But now what happens to you, Mr. Lang? Now, you are a single person, a bachelor again. You got to practically start your life all over again. That means you want to look for a companion yourself.
Sparky, I don't know what's going on, but you're starting to bubble. You're starting
Okay. Maybe I had the phone too close to my mouth. That's clearer?
Yeah. I also need you to take us to your end, please.
Yeah, I was just trying to get to, you know, it don't be easy just to get it that quick. So what happens sometimes, Mr. Lang, sometimes daddy still loves the kids, but the kids are not with daddy no more. So now daddy is out trying to start a new life with a new partner and stuff like that. Daddy don't be around the other house all the time. But the other man and the mummy be with the children, and daddy gets to see them occasionally. Now the children end up growing up thinking that daddy was always the bad guy. Daddy don't necessarily be the bad guy, you know. But the children don't know that because the daddy don't even want to tell them the story would might have gone down. And when the children come to daddy one day and say, what happened? You really don't want to tell that story to the children. You just try to let them know, I still love you. I tried my best to do what I could do for you. But what went down, and you just got to move on. Sometimes, like you say, you got to do what for you, and you got to do what for them, but you just got to move on. Because if you don't move on, you're going to end up bar drinking yourself to death or on drugs. Trust me. I love you. Have a good day.
All right, appreciate your calling. Thanks a lot. Okay, so we have a text here says, good afternoon. This needs to be given more airplay. Mr. Lang, via rebroadcasted, be shared on a wider platform. Thank you very much for your thoughts. So we said the first thing is you want to be present. Be present. Do the best you can. Whatever the circumstances, be present. You have to be observant of the forming personality of your children, all right? You want to pay attention to how they are forming in terms of their views about the world, views about themselves, their emotional responses to things, and so forth and so forth, and try to nurture the best values and outcomes for them. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, for these boys, is you got to give boys guidance, instructive guidance. That means you're telling them some things they need to do. And then you want to give them behavioral guidance, right? In terms of the way they conduct themselves on the planet. So let me give an example of that, right? And trust me, especially as they are younger, when they 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they are happy to get instructions from daddy, mommy. They're happy to try and do it the way that you are telling them to do. That's a reality. So at that early stage, before they hit 4 or 5 and so forth, you want to try and get in as much instructions and behavioral guidance as you can, right? But once you see them start getting into that 11, 12, 13, 14, okay, now the dynamics start to shift because they now starting to have their own sense of life and their own sense of things and their own beliefs about how clothing should work and how things should work and so forth and so forth. And so now you can have a little bit of challenges, but that does not mean that, and it requires some wisdom on our part. That doesn't mean you don't stop giving, that you stop giving that instruction, guys. So let me give you some practical examples, right? Sometimes people don't like me talking about my family, but I only have the examples I have in my own personal examples. I'm a talk about my example. So my son is 14 years old, right? He has his own thoughts about what color combinations work together now in clothing, what he is appropriate and not appropriate to wear when he goes to school or goes out and so forth and so forth. And he won't put on his clothes and dash out to him, brush his hair and do these kinds of things and so forth. And I don't do that. My job, whether he's happy with it or not. And I tell him, I said, listen, man, I know you're not happy right now, is what I'm saying to you and what I'm requiring you to do. I understand that, but bro, while I want to be your friend, I don't need to be your friend. My job is to help teach you some things, okay? Now, here is how a boy puts on his clothing, okay? You got to put your underpants and your undershirt on. And it's important to wear underpants and undershirt. Because sometimes they think like it ain't important to wear underpants and undershirt. I said, listen, the reason why is because you are going to sweat. And your sweat is going to have included in it germs, bacteria and stuff. You want to be able to, you have bacteria and germs in the world. You want to be able to separate your skin from that germs. And one of the things that does that, it was an important part of human development, is underclothes. So you need to wear your underclothes. Okay, so you'll put your underclothes on. Before you put your pants and your shirt on, that's ironed. What you want to do is you want to put your socks on. Why? Because all that bending in on your iron pants and shit is going to crease it. So put your socks on, right? Put your pants on. Then put your shirt on. And then you put your shirt in your pants. Here's how you want to do it. And you want to put your shirt in your pants. If you don't wear your shirt in the pants, look at it when it's out of your pants and ask yourself, is this needing a parent? And so forth and so forth. Wear a belt because you don't want your pants dropping down on you. That you don't want to do that, right? And so, and then you go and you put your shoes on last. You got to brush your teeth. You got to brush your hair. And here's how a man brushes his hair. So let me show you. No, that's not the right way. And look, you could look at yourself and see your hair and brush. So I'm giving him that kind of instruction, right? I'm giving him instructions about how to leave his environment clean for when he goes out, because he doesn't know. He could get injured and they have to come and put him inside his bed. And you don't want people coming of you in this nasty environment, or you don't want to be in a nasty environment when you have to convalesce and that kind of stuff. So we have to give them that instruction, whether they like it or not. When they get angry, when they get upset, when they do things, when they be mean to other people, they might not like the reprimand they get from us, but that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to guide their behavior toward outcomes that will produce the best outcomes for them in the world in which they have to live, inclusive of the family environment in which they have to participate. When we observe them being mean to their younger siblings or younger cousins or friends or that kind of stuff, we have to intervene. We have to be there to give them guidance instructively and also behaviorally. Now, let me say, sometimes we can overdo it. Me, I have a flashpoint. Sometimes I get angry. And when I get angry, I get very loud. And you could scream at these children, and that's not good, right? Because what happens is they stop hearing you, they just hear the loudness, and you don't get the result you want. So we have to exercise some patience. We have to exercise some calm. We have to be firm. Don't be play-play. You got to be firm. But you want to also make sure that you come across in a manner that doesn't terrorize the child or doesn't make the boy not want to have to deal with you, because he's scared. The minute I come to you, if you don't like the thing, you can scream in my ears, and I don't like that. My sons used to tell me, say, Daddy, I ain't gonna lie to you. We would have preferred you beat us sometimes than for you to talk to us. So you don't want that altogether, even though having that baritone firm voice can check their behavior where even their mother can't get them to behave in a certain kind of way. So guide them instructively and behaviorally. Now, let me explain something to you, bro. Man, I'm talking to you, man, the lady right now, even though this is true for the lady. I'm talking to you, father. But I mean, it's true for the mother too, but I'm just saying. You can say a lot of things to that fella. He is going to watch your behavior, though. He is going to watch your behavior. And if you are trying to teach him gentleness and you are violent as hell, don't be surprised when he follows in that path. Now, I'm not getting on whether you're smoking or drinking is right or wrong. That's not the talk I'm talking today. But if you try to tell him don't smoke and you're smoking all the time, probability is he is going to smoke, right? You tell him, oh, treat women with respect, and you coming down on your partner with all kind of harsh and this and that and the next thing, don't be surprised when they do the very same thing. So instruction and guidance means both our words and our deeds. And if you, and it can happen, it happens to all of us, if your children observe you in a conduct that is not appropriate or against something you've been teaching them, you say to them, you know what? You know what? Daddy should not have done that. Mommy should not have done that. I was wrong. I do not want you to do that. And I'm going to do better. I'm going to try to do better myself. Right? That is an important lesson for them also. You want your boys to know it's okay to admit when they are wrong. That stupid nonsense about, but you's a man, but you gotta apologize to nobody. Yes, you have to apologize to some people. You shouldn't apologize for things you didn't do wrong. And you shouldn't apologize because people tell you to apologize. You should apologize because having acknowledged that you did it the wrong way, you want to, and you offended somebody, you should say, you know what? That was on me. I'm bad. That's my bad. My apologies for that. That is hard as hell. Oh, listen, man, if you listening to me today, you know how hard it is to apologize. But oh, what a human being we become when we are able to do it. You're listening to Z Live and we take our final break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this discussion. We'll be back after this final break.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure that these check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Welcome back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So glad you could join us. We're talking about how we parent our boys here in the Bahamas. And somebody says lead by example. Yes, that's for sure. Lead by example. You'll notice that I'm talking about broad parameters around parenting now because, you know, there are some nuances, some particulars that you can get into, details that can vary from one family to the next family, from one culture to the next culture, from one religion to the next religion, et cetera. Those are things that you have to deal with in the details. I'm talking about the broad parameters here because our approach to something sets the frame for how we deal with the details. And that's what I'm talking about is the approach. So we said, be present, be observant of the boy's forming personality, guide the boy instructively and behaviorally, meaning, you know, in terms of the oral instructions, written instructions you might give to them, and then how you interact with them in terms of shaping and directing their behavior. Then you want to empower these boys, because as their hormones start to, when they get into their adolescence and those hormones start to change their body and really physically, they're going to feel more powerful. And that does do something to your psyche. Listen, I've been there. I don't have to theorize about this. When you start feeling the muscles and feeling that energy, that testosterone building up in your system, you start feeling like an immortal. Like a little god walking on planet right now, and you can lift things and move things and do things and say things in a way that you didn't do so before. Psychologically, now you come into a different space. Now you don't want to quench that. That one of the things we do is, oh, you know, listen, y'all behaving parents. Listen, y'all behaving parents. Don't get mad with me. Boy, you think because your sock hanging low now, boy, you think because your voice getting deep now, I will die. Boy, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to quench that power. Don't quench the power. Let it loose. Empower the child to wreck the power. That, see, all that energy is there. You can't do nothing but that energy. It is there. Whether you like it or not, whether you say something about it or not, putting it in the corner only is going to build it up so that it takes occasion wherever it is to let it loose. And it may let it loose on some other boy or some other girl or some girl or somebody. No, you want to empower them. You want to be able to say, listen, man, how about you go do this? How about you go to karate? How about you go to basketball? How about you go why did you help me, your daddy or your mommy do this, that kind of physical thing? Empower the child. Their sense of growing independence, empower it. Listen, I don't mind you interested to do this. I don't mind you interested to do that, but here are the parameters. Here's when it can be done. And here is how it can be done. And in the current situation, and let me explain to you why I want it that way. And so you do that, but empower, let that child develop in power, because you set that directed and control and manage the power loose on the world, it's going to have positive results. Don't quench it. Don't quench it. All right? You might have to have some conversations about that sexual power too. Right? And listen, bro, you can have that conversation. You might have, listen, I cannot make you. I cannot make you do with your ding-a-ling what you want to do with your ding-a-ling, because I am not going to be everywhere you are. You're going to have choices you make. But let me explain to you the beauty and wonderful ways in which this can happen. Let me explain to you the terrible and tragic ways in which this can happen. And I want to tell you, I require and expect of you sensible, responsible, moral, and ethical behavior, but I cannot control you 24/7. Therefore, please be careful. Please be safe. Please be responsible. And know that there are consequences to every action you take. Don't pretend like you could be everywhere with the child. Don't pretend like, and don't pretend like the child ain't got hormones building up, causing tingling to get aroused, and he gonna get an erection, and he gonna want to do some things because of the erection for a purpose. He gonna want to do that. Right? Don't pretend like it ain't so. Be the best guide you can. Empower them to act responsibly. Responsibly, and to know that when you offend with your sexual behavior, there are consequences for that. Anyway, look like we may have to take up the rest of this on another occasion, because we are plumb out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live and Trivago. I promise you, we'll finish it up. We'll finish it up. I'm so glad that you could join us today here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. God bless. Have a wonderful evening, and stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. God's best night. Whatever weather.